to do my best today for you. Now, you know, at this particular slot, let me say it like this. Brother Brad Davis, I love you, buddy. Thank you that you would allow me to be a part of the service. And thank you for coming on down. We appreciate it so much. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough orator to hold your attention. But I'm going to do my best today, and I'm thankful for that. Now, there's still plenty of room down here on the front. Some of you have never seen this row here before, and if you'd like to come on down, why, you can. Pat Buchanan. Hit me that same key. I found Brother Davis's song. Now, John Reynolds must be out on a smoke break or something. Brother Davis is, he's hit a resonant chord with me. Somebody said you can't live in the past, but I said the past is living in me. I want to do a little bit of this song, that same key that my dear brother was singing in a while ago. I think C might do it, I think. You might take it up just a little bit. I'm thinking today of my old-fashioned home with father and mother in prayer. While praying the Father that we might not roam, it seemed that sweet heaven was there. I'd like to go back and live my days over and hear my name spoken in prayer. When fathers would pray, Lord, save my dear children. It seemed that sweet heaven was there. With singing and shouting we had in those days, it lifted us out of all care. When God would come in and we'd turn from sin's ways, it seemed that sweet heaven was there. I'd like to go back and think my days over and hear beneath spoken in prayer. When Father would pray, Lord, save my dear children, it seemed that sweet heaven was there. Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. I told my good buddy, Brother Cook, I was over at his church. I don't think I told him this time. But Dr. Joe Wright went before the Kansas State Senate. And Brother Reynolds, when he gave this prayer, state senators walked out. I was in Florida, and a lady said, Brother, she said, I was there when it happened. And here's what the man of God said. He said, our Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness. We know that your word says woe to those that call evil good, and that's exactly what we've done. We've exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We polluted the air with profanity and called it freedom of expression. We ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers, and we called it repugnancy. Hear our prayer today, O God, and cleanse us from all stain. I am not an expert in anything, but I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. And if the Lord doesn't hold your attention today, it's what it will actually be. I want you to look at four verses. And first of all, I want to compliment the good brother that preceded me and Brother Gray out of Gray, Tennessee. What a wonderful message. Brother John Reynolds always hits a home run. I just try to strike at the ball. Brother John puts it out of the park. I'm here with my good friend, too, Dr. Moore, and all of you. But notice, I want to feel like preaching today. If there's no unction of the Holy Ghost, let's just all quit and go home. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I'm going to try to preach today a little bit on what does the gospel do for us. Now, I'm at the point in my life, I'm not an expert. I have not arrived. I've not attained. But there's some things that concern me as I head strong towards my ninth decade. I think I mentioned it yesterday. I kind of have gotten to the point in my life where I remember a lot of things that happened and some that didn't. We're living in a very perplexing time. My mother had probably a third grade education, but the culture was different back then. Grass was something we mowed. Coke was something we drank. AIDS were the people that worked in the principal's office. And coming out of the closet meant we'd been playing hide-and-go-seek. It was a different day and a different time. We had a boy down where we lived told me that his education got interrupted at the third grade. I said, what happened? He said, they sent me my draft notice. Well, these are times that only God can do something about. Now, I don't know about you, but I ascribe to the Independent Baptist title, but I'm not mad about it. I see a lot of people today, and I think as Brother Ed and I talk from time to time, now I'm going to give you my heart, and I'll try to make it brief, because I've told my son, I said, a good message ought to be short, and a bad one ought to be shorter. You can only hold people's attention so long. I mean, if you think you can, you go ahead and believe it all you want to. Now, let me get down to business here. If we don't have a return, in my opinion, I believe Brother John preached it somewhere, and it was such a wonderful message on revival or ruin. I think that unless we can have a revival, my good brother, that turns me upside down, I'm not so sure that we're going to have any ameliorative effects in our country. You can't tell me. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I can remember a day and time when preachers used to preach, and they didn't have the best of the king's language, but they knew the king. We're losing it. I go to a lot of churches. And as Brother Steve Wager said, if the Holy Ghost showed up in some of them, they'd give him a visitor card. The brother over here is trying to tell us something. I don't know if we're listening. He's trying to tell us that it's not by our works, but it's by His power.
Amen.
Brother Brad is seeking something. I feel it deeply. And if I don't get anywhere other than this, Dr. Brad Davis is telling you something. He's telling us that if we can't get back to the essence of old-fashioned preaching and singing, I'm afraid we're about down the tube. Something's wrong. COVID didn't ruin the church. COVID revealed the church. You'll never convince me that I could go to Walmart, stand in line and kiss people and not get COVID. But if I get within 2 miles of a church, I'm very susceptible. Something's wrong with that. January the 10th, 1963, a Florida congressman entered into the congressional record some excerpts, Brother Jim, from a man that wrote a document called The Naked Communists. January the 10th. 1963, 61 years ago. If you can research that document, you'll think that you're reading about today's dilemmas. My good brother has enumerated some of those, some of the problems. We have not only social problems, political problems, economic problems, but I can tell you this today, Christianity can survive without America. But America cannot survive without Christianity. Too much evidence. Now, what do I mean about it? I'm not any more spiritual than the rest of you. But it's amazing to me that God could use a single one of us. How much bragging on the Lord do we actually do, Brother Brad? Now, I see this. Maybe I'm taking too much medicine. But Brother Brad Davis is trying to tell us something. I haven't sat down and talked with him, but he's trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us that unless we can find our place somewhere in revival, I think we'll just continue to have meetings. Now, this meeting here is fabulous. Thank you for the church and for the wonderful place we stayed and the meals and the fellowship. But my friends, it's not in our outline. It's not in our knowledge of dispensationalism. It may be more in our attitudes of a disposition. See, the song here, it's not a biblical song, but it says, I'd like to go back and think my day's over. Brother John Reynolds has told us, if it's not here, where will it be? If it's not us, then who? And if it's not at this place, where is it likely to strike out? I wonder. I'm going to come down here where I can preach just a little bit. My brother back here asked, why has America been blessed of God? May I give you three reasons. We've been blessed of God because we've done more for the downtrodden than any other country in the world. Whenever an earthquake, a tsunami, flood comes along, we're usually the first on the scene. Secondly, we've sent missionaries around the globe with the glorious news that Jesus saves. Amen. And thirdly, we've been a friend to Israel, and I'm glad that our previous president moved it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I don't know. I get concerned. I've got 5 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren, and Brother Cook's already heard this little analogy. But, you know, I can't tell a single one of them no. I've stood in front of a mirror, practiced. I can't, it won't come out. They left the kids with me one time because my wife, Brother Spencer, wanted to go to Goodwill. And when they left, I said, kids, there's pop in the refrigerator. There's cookies. There's ice cream. When they came back, my daughter was very persnickety, Brother Ed, and she said, Dad, you didn't. I said, I did. It was like the kids had discovered another ring around Pluto. They were mesmerized. They won't get anybody. They won't allow me to sit with them anymore. They'll get hitchhikers to come in. I kind of feel like that lady that went and got her a brand new dress at Nordstrom's. Mrs. Rowland would know where that is. It's high class. It's gotten prosperity all over it. She paid $300 for it, brother. And her husband said, we shouldn't be doing this. He said, our budget just won't allow it. And then he could see that her joy left her. And he said, oh, honey, don't worry anything about it. He said, the more I think about it, he said, I think the devil made you do that. He said, from now on, when you feel that you ought to buy a real expensive dress that we can't afford, tell the devil to get behind you. She said, I did. And he said, it looked good back there, too. We're living in a very perplexing time. I'm trying to tell you something as I see my brother's heart up here. Now, I'm kind of like that guy that said he was dating this x-ray technician, and she told him, said, I can see right through you. But Brother Brad, I sense it. I've not talked to anybody about this. Brother Brad Davis is communicating with us if we'll listen. The songs, the manner that he's conducting this is entirely different in the approach. I see it, but I say it in a salutary, complimentary way, Brother Cook. He's trying to get down into our inner recesses. Let me tell you something, neighbor. We could have the Bible memorized, but unless the Spirit of God gets on that message, Brother Ed Moore, we might as well stay at home.
That's it.
I'm not saying that I've got more of the Lord than anybody else. I may be the least in here. I may have the least favor of any of you. But I'm simply saying this, brother. We better be thinking about some serious things in the days to come. Old-fashioned type preaching is about out of style in most places. Our songs are not good because they're old. They're old because they're good. I went up to where Fanny Crosby is buried in Connecticut. Fanny Crosby was born in 1820, died in 1915, wrote some of those great songs. And as I was there at her little gravesite, P.T. Barnum and Tom Thumb are also buried in that cemetery. And I got to thinking to myself, Brother Preacher, what a joy to be with you. I wondered, as Fanny took her final flight, I just wondered, you know, those great songs that says, face to face, I shall behold him, far above the starry sky. See, I've got to conclude this thing. I'll tell you what's happening to me. Am I good, brother? I can tell when I'm running out of time is when people not only look at their watch, but they get the guarantee out. You can't hold people's attention. I wish I could. I wish I was a good enough of an orator that I could get down and have people to have an effectiveness with them. But that comes from God. Something is wrong, my brother. We ought to sing under the power. Brother, if you ever think about shouting a little bit, Somebody said, well, we don't shout. Well, it's time to get to.
Amen.
I don't go home and use big words on my wife. Now, I talked to her this morning. What do you think she would feel if I'd call her up and I'd say, oh, thou fairest of pulchritude, colossal are thy amenities, and wonderful are thy tributaries. She'd say, are you taking drugs? You know what I'm going to say to her? I, sweetie, I love it. Oh, my brother. You think about the joy when we step on that beautiful shore. And we see him, Brother Cook, face to face. What a wonderful day that's going to be. We lost our little boy back in 1979. Brother Moore lost a little granddaughter about somewhere in that era. She was 4. John Clay was 6. And I get to thinking about it. Here I've been privileged. For me to even think that I ought to be here at Antioch Baptist Church is beyond my wildest dreams. What would make me think that I should be entitled to be here and meet you wonderful people? Ben Franklin said, the longer that I live, the more of a truth I perceive, that if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, how can empires rise without his aid? I went to see the tombstone of his granddaughter. She died, Brother Jim, at age 10. And they say that he was a deist, meaning that God created everything but stepped away from it. But on the tombstone, Brother Terry Boggs, it says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Benjamin Franklin had written for his epitaph, here lies the body of Benjamin Franklin, author, printer, its contents and glitterings out. But he has the belief that it will be revised and corrected in a more glorious edition. Man, that ought to get me excited. When I think about it, and I'm closing, when I think about the fact, Brother Davis, come on down here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that right, brother?
That's it.
Then we which are alive, what?
And remain.
And remain shall what?
Caught up.
Together, what?
With him.
Yeah, to meet him where?
In the air.
And so shall we ever
be
with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead and shout, Brother Davis.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, brother. Hallelujah.
Verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the little time that we had here today.
Thank
you for my precious friends. Thank you for all these wonderful men that have preached. Now, Lord, may these little old remarks